The World Talk Radio Network, where the world comes to talk. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the World Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Ready to live a healthier life with minimum hassle and maximum results. Welcome to Dare to Be Healthy with nutritional therapist Alia Almoayed. Alia will use her experiences as a health advisor and mother to make health and nutrition a part of your life and the life of your family. Now here's your host, Alia Almoayed.
Hello and welcome to the Dare to Be Healthy show. This is your host, Alia Almoayed, broadcasting live from the tiny little island of Bahrain in the Middle East. I'm a nutritional therapist, health writer, and health speaker, and I'm here to help you take your health to the next level. Today's episode is called I Want a Healthy Pregnancy. Now, do you know if is pregnancy different for a nutritionist? Does pregnancy get easier when you're eating well? Does nutrition really make a difference for mother and baby during this important stage? You can find out how to have a healthy and vibrant pregnancy the natural way. I Want a Healthy Pregnancy is actually the name of my latest book. It is a must for every mother-to-be who wants a natural, comfortable, and stress-free pregnancy. In this book, I explore my own pregnancy journals to help you find simple, natural approaches to conception, pregnancy, and delivery. So you can discover how an optimum diet and lifestyle can enhance your pregnancy experience and actually give you amazing results, a healthy pregnancy, a vibrant mommy, and a super baby. So all the secrets, all the details, for more information, you can go to iwantahealthypregnancy.com. But today, I have a different format a little bit. Instead of interviewing a guest on the show today, I'll actually be chatting with a friend and fellow blogger, Mara Mustafa. Mara is a mother of two who loves all things natural, and she's doing a great job herself in spreading the health message. And best of all, Mara is actually expecting her third child at the moment. Mara, I love having you with me on the air. How are you doing?
Hey, great, alhamdulillah. Thanks for having me. I love listening to your shows. You've had such a great guest, so many great guests on your shows. I'm just honored to be a part of your whole experience. You've given me a sneak peek of your copy of the book that everybody seems to be waiting for. And I got mine just in time when I found out I'm expecting my third. And I love the book. I read it back to back. And I just found the whole thing really interesting, especially being my third pregnancy. I found a lot of new information that I hadn't read in other books. And I wanted to ask you a question, Alia. I know that each pregnancy is different, and I know every woman has symptoms that may be, you know, very different to her. I know all three of my pregnancies have been completely different. None of them have been the same. But I was wondering, I'm hoping to ask questions that maybe the listeners might be wanting or hoping or thinking to ask you. Do you really think that eating well during pregnancy makes a difference?
Well, you know what, Mara? I think by my third pregnancy, I kind of got better at doing the whole pregnancy thing, and I learned how to tackle a lot of the pregnancy symptoms a lot better. You know, this is kind of the book that I would have liked to have when I first got pregnant. You know, you hear all kinds of stories here and there about pregnancy from friends and relatives, but you never really get the whole story from one person. And usually horror stories always sell a lot more, and they make for good conversation. So a lot of the young women I see today are actually happy and excited about pregnancy, but also very scared. I don't know if you've had that when you first got pregnant, but I know I certainly was. You have all these fears, and they come from the horror stories that you hear or from your own images that you have of what it's like to be pregnant or what it's like to give birth. So this book is really the whole story, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's the truth. It's my truth, at least. And if it helps even one person out there, then I've done my job. You know, like I said, by my third pregnancy, I kind of got better at it. And I realized that in the previous pregnancies, I thought the symptoms were part of the package. And I realized that, as it turns out, you can help yourself with that. And it really does make a difference when you eat well during pregnancy. A lot of women were asking me that when I got pregnant. They were curious to know if their efforts would pay off. They wanted to know. They secretly wanted proof that this worked. You know, they wanted to make sure that if they go through the hassle of eating healthy, that it does make a difference. But pregnancy really is the most important time in the child's development. A healthy pregnancy does equal a healthy baby, and a healthy mother and recovery as well. It makes a big difference for recovery. So your health matters during pregnancy, but also before pregnancy, during conception even, you know, or before conception. Does it get easier when you're eating healthy? I think it sure does, and everybody can do it. It's very easy. You can start eating better and start improving your health now as we speak, and you just have to know a few tips on how to do it. And I think the book explains exactly that. It's everything that I know basically put in that. And I feel that this is what was missing in the market. You know, when my clients used to ask me what they can have during pregnancy, I didn't really have a book that I could suggest to them. So I feel that there's a gap, and I'm really hoping that this book would fill that gap. What do you think?
I love the book. I love the whole format, the fact that it was written as if I felt like I was reading your diary, and at the same time you had really written everything, and it was all concise and to the point. And you mentioned a lot of good points. Like, I really like the fact when the section where you'd mentioned how it's not just the woman who has to prepare for pregnancy, and everyone thinks that, you know, being the childbearer, you're going to have to take care of your body, but it's actually also the father, because you mentioned how it takes a woman, it takes a month, but with a man it takes a couple of months for them to prepare their body for their sperm and to have a good sperm count. So it's not just the woman.
Yeah, I think it's time. It's good time for men to also take responsibility. I know all the women would probably be cheering now, but you know, it is, the child is 50% of the man, and sperm does take about 4 months to mature in order to create conception. So they really do have to take very good care of themselves. And believe it or not, 60% of infertility cases are attributed to the man, whereas most of the time women are blamed for it, and especially in this part of the world, you know, it's where the men are macho, and it's not something that they would like to discuss. It's a conservative culture, I guess, and it's not something that they want to talk about if they have a fertility issue or a problem there. So I think what I would like to achieve with this book, at least, is to involve the man more in this process, because it is very much related to him as well.
And did you have the father in mind when writing the book? Because it seems to be really friendly towards fathers as well, because it looked like a book that even a guy can pick up and read and understand, and it just seemed, you know, were you thinking of them as well?
You know, that's a very good question. I have a lady asked me today in an interview. She said, is there a section for men in the book? Because she heard me saying that it's great for men to read as well. And I don't think a section for men was necessary, because I wanted the man to read the section for the women, because they never do. And I remember when I first got pregnant, I used to like read books about pregnancy and delivery and stuff, and I used to highlight stuff that are relevant for my husband to read, because I wanted him to be on the same page at least. And I feel that this book is an easy enough read for a guy to get into. And because it has bits and pieces of my journals and my thoughts at the time, I think it would really help guys kind of get into the brain of a pregnant woman sometimes, because you know, you hear men complaining often, unfortunately, very often, about them not understanding their wife when she's pregnant, because she becomes very quote-unquote hormonal, and he doesn't know how to deal with it. And I think this would give them a good insight into the world of pregnancy, into all the changes that happen, and they're major changes that happen, you know, and it would give him an idea of what's going on in his wife's body and mind. And for him to realize that even for her, that's a big change. I mean, even for her to come to grips with that, it's a big change. And I'm noticing a question that's coming up now from a guy who just emailed. He says he feels that his wife became very unpredictable since she got pregnant, and she's very moody, and he ends up spending more time at work because of it. And I can totally relate to that, because the woman herself is having a problem getting to grips with what's going on in her body, let alone the guy who's living with it. So if you read this, and if more fathers read this sort of stuff, then they will understand a bit more how they can be of help and what they can do or what not to do, at least during these times. So I feel that if it can do that, then it would make a big difference.
Yeah, I think so too. I was wondering, are there any common nutritional gaps or deficiencies that you're finding that are more common nowadays in women than there were before?
Yeah, believe it or not, vitamin D is a big one. I've had that problem myself. The whole country, the whole region is very sunny, but very few people spend enough time in the sun, unfortunately, or enough skin exposure, because of the culture is conservative as well. We're not always running around in sleeveless shirts, so we're not exposing enough skin even when we are exposed to the sun. And vitamin D deficiency has a major, major consequences on pregnancy and on the baby. So we need to get out more in the sun, definitely, or supplement, which is very, very important. Also, iron tends to be low. You know that exhaustion feeling that you have, and I'm sure you have that, especially in the beginning, Mara. I don't know if you've had that, but you feel this deep, deep fatigue when you're pregnant, especially in the first stages, and that usually goes down to an iron deficiency. And when you're low in iron, basically your body cannot transport oxygen as well as it should. So your cells are not oxygenated. That's why they're just tired. And at that time, the blood circulation is higher for the baby than it is for the mother. So iron deficiency is one of the big ones that you should have checked. The only thing with iron is that a lot of people supplement with just, you know, off-the-counter iron supplements, and these are very badly absorbed, unfortunately. They don't go in as well. They cause constipation most of the time. So you want to look for a plant-based iron supplement, such as Floridix, for example. I found that to be really, really beneficial. I don't know, have you tried it, Mara?
I'm actually having a tough time just swallowing pregnant care at the moment.
That's also a very tricky thing, isn't it? To have to balance the nausea with what you should be eating and what you feel like eating at the time. But iron is definitely something worth looking into. Zinc as well. Look at your nails. If you have white spots on your nails, then that's a zinc deficiency. And by the time you get those spots on the nails, that means the deficiency is very low. The deficiency is very high, sorry. So you have very big needs for zinc at that point once you have. And you might find that a very interesting thing is that women who carry boys tend to get more zinc spots on their nails because the reproductive system of a boy or of a male requires a lot more zinc. So I don't know if it doesn't really predict what you're having, but pregnant women who are carrying boys tend to have more, a bigger tendency to have zinc deficiencies. So look at your nails. I mean, look at the signs that your body would be giving you, such as tiredness or the white spots or the skin problems or, you know, sometimes dry lips as well as a vitamin D thing. So you want to make sure that you're reading your body at all times.
Yeah, reading my body was actually what made me think that I may be pregnant, but that's how I figured it out. But how long did it take you to write your book?
Well, that's an interesting question. The book, in the book, I've actually added sections from my pregnancy journals. Like I said, I've kept a personal journal for each of my pregnancies, and I've used real unedited sections of these journals. I mean, some of the parts are quite embarrassing. They're quite personal and revealing. I've even debated sometimes whether to take them out or keep them in. But, you know, I decided to keep them because I know if I was the reader, I would have liked to read the details, and I wanted to keep that for the pregnant woman reading that. So parts of this book were actually written more than 9 years ago when I was pregnant with my first child. So some of the journal entries have been taken from that first pregnancy. But the main sections of the book were written during my last pregnancy, which was the third. And there were a lot of incidents where I'd actually be very pregnant and you know, have the laptop in my lap, which is not the most ideal. And I'd be typing away for the book. And I took I even have notes that I've taken during early stages of labor, believe it or not. I'm such a nerd like that. But I wanted to actually be able to, you know, write down the feelings that I was feeling at the time. I had a very hard time reading my handwriting later, but I wanted to write the feelings. And the final product I'm very happy with. It came about 2 years later. A lot later than I thought, but you know, when you have a baby and you think you can do everything and you realize you know, baby is quite tiring. So when you're mothering and trying to write at the same time, it's very difficult. So there were many delays and setbacks, but I'm very fine, very happy with the final results, and I feel like it'll help a lot of people, hopefully. But I want to talk to you some more, Mara. I want to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll take some more questions from you and from our listeners. So stay tuned.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for us at keyword World Talk Radio.
Are you looking for tips, tricks, secrets, and techniques that you can use anywhere, anytime, on virtually any problem? Tune in to Magic at Your Fingertips with EFT Virtuoso Teresa Bolin. You are a divine manifestation of love and light. Take back control of your life and create the life that you want using EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques. You'll overcome the obstacles that stand in the way of living your heart's desire. Magic at Your Fingertips airs live at 6 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern, and 10 p.m. in Japan on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel. Are you one of the 64% of U.S. adults that are afraid to be in deep, open water? Did you know that almost half of all Americans are not able to swim in pools? Millions of Americans have taken swimming lessons and still have not learned to swim. Melon Dash is going to change all of that. Tune in to the Learn to Swim Show, a program that helps adults learn to swim. You'll find out why it's different than teaching a child and how simple it can be. Tune in to the Learn to Swim Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
Follow the World Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at World Talk Radio. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the World Talk Radio Network. Now, you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/World Talk Radio or follow along with us at World Talk Radio, the World Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
The World Talk Radio Variety Channel. You are listening to Dare to Be Healthy with your host, Alia Almoayed. If you have a question or comment about this week's program, our phone lines are now open anywhere in North America. Our number is 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. If you can't call into the live program, send an email to Alia, A-L-I-A, at aliaalmoayed.com. Almoayed is spelled A-L-M-O-A-Y-E-D. Now back to Dare to Be Healthy.
Welcome back. This is Alia Almoayed, your host on the Dare to Be Healthy show. We're talking today about wanting a healthy pregnancy, about my latest book called I Want a Healthy Pregnancy. And I'm chatting today with Mara Mustafa, who is a mother of two with a third on the way. And we're talking about pregnancy. Before we took the break, Mara, during the break, you were actually just telling me about polycystic ovaries and how common it is. And one of the questions we just got is from Maryam, who says she has polycystic ovaries, and she's wondering if we know anything about the effect of food on that and how to tackle that with pregnancy. I know you had a personal experience with that, Mara. What do you want to share about that?
I actually find that polycystic ovaries is so common in our part of the world, actually pretty much everywhere now. I think it has a lot to do with the environmental factors. You have severe cases and you have milder cases. I was told I have polycystic ovaries, but thank God it never really affected me with conception and everything. But what I did find, I never did have a regular cycle as such. But what I did find that this last year, I did change my diet and I did cut out a lot of junk food, a lot of sugar, a lot of actually 90% dairy, I would say. And I'd also, the main thing I cut out was meat and chicken. So I kind of only have fish. And I have found that unbelievably, I mean, I thought chicken was something healthy to have, and we were having it 5 days a week. And ever since I cut that out, I've been having regular cycles and proper cycles, and I've just felt a huge difference, especially with my hormones and everything. And it just goes to show you that what you do eat does affect your body, and it will make a difference.
It does. I mean, I have a whole chapter here in the book called Don't Drink Your Milk, and this always shocks people because, you know, you think, milk, how can I not drink it? Everybody's telling me to drink it. But there's a lot of hormones in the stuff we eat, and dairy products are the highest source of hormones. But also, like you said, meat and chicken, they're constantly pumped with hormones, and they're growth hormones. They're going to make any cell grow, including the ovarian cysts or cells. And in one of my journal entries, actually, in this chapter, and I'm going to read the journal entry here. It says, well, I wrote at the time, I'm tired of everybody telling me to drink milk for pregnancy and breastfeeding. Can't they just accept that I don't want to? I don't see any cows drinking milk for lactation, pregnancy, or bones. And I think it's funny that I wrote that because, you know, you have this belief that as soon as you get pregnant, you're supposed to have 2 or 3 glasses of milk. And I've heard women even say that they've had milk practically shoved down their throats by their grandmothers and mothers. And we automatically assume that it's the healthiest thing, but we forget that it's loaded with hormones. There's a lot of hormones in dairy products. And people who have tendencies to things like polycystic ovaries or fibroids or endometriosis and stuff like that, they have to be very careful with animal products in general. And like you said, Mara, I think you have an amazing first-hand experience with that, and it does make a big difference, definitely.
Yeah, I couldn't agree anymore. I mean, I really think it's made a world of a difference. And I have there's been no craving to go back to it. So I think maybe if I did want it one day, if I did choose to have chicken, it would definitely have to be an organic chicken, free-range chicken, but I wouldn't go back to the old regular stuff that I was having, no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you as well, we always hear from our mothers and our grandmothers that we should be doing specific things when we're pregnant. Are these true, or are they just old wives' tales and myths?
Well, you know, milk and dairy products is one of the big ones that we just mentioned. But also there's a few other myths that seem to be going around that sometimes some of them don't really have a basis of truth. Of course, the most common one would be eating for two during pregnancy. I mean, you have to eat. Why aren't you eating? You're feeding another child and blah, blah, blah. And some people take that as an excuse to pig out and eat more, which is always something that people look forward to, I guess, during pregnancy. But you're not supposed to eat for two. You can eat for yourself, and the baby will take what it needs from you. But also another big one that I've noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed this, Mara, but for some reason, when you get pregnant, or at least here in Bahrain, I don't know about the rest of the world, but people expect you to not be active at all. And when I first got pregnant the first time, I was living in London. And, you know, in London, you carry your own bags, you walk to the bus stop, you get on the bus, nobody even gets up for you, you're heavily pregnant, you're standing, barely holding on to the thing. And then I came back to Bahrain when I was about 7 or 8 months pregnant, and everybody was just telling me not to move as if I was, I don't know, sick or something, you know. And I found that very strange. Because I think movement is good and exercise is good, and if you have a normal quote-unquote pregnancy, then you're supposed to move as much as you can, and you're supposed to be active, and life should go on as usual. You know, think of all the, I don't know, women in African farms and women in China, and everybody who bears children, the female body is capable of bearing children. During movement, you don't have to sit back and do nothing. And I think this is one of the main reasons why women tend to gain a lot of weight here, is because there is an expectation almost to eat a lot and do very little in terms of movement, just in case something happens to the baby, you know. Unfortunately, this is an inaccurate myth, and I hope that the new generations come out of that. But also a very good myth that I wanted to mention, actually, before we go to the next question, which is about eating liver during pregnancy. And I hear this a lot. People say, eat liver because it's rich in iron. And when I hear that, I literally cringe. You know, it might be, liver is a great source of iron. It has very high sources of iron, but it also has a lot of vitamin A in it. And vitamin A in very high levels during pregnancy can actually cause birth defects. And also liver, the liver as an organ itself, it's like a filtering organ. So it would be filtering out all the toxins that animal is consuming. So you'll be taking in the liver plus the toxins from that animal. So you really want to make sure if you are low in iron, just get a plant-based iron. A green smoothie, for example, would be great as a source of iron. Put all the green leaves, the parsley, the coriander, everything in there and make a nice dark green smoothie. And that should give you enough iron to last you the whole pregnancy even.
Yeah, I love that part. Actually, when I read the book, I got my pen and I highlighted that section about the liver because my father, he's obsessed. He loves meat. He's a carnivore and he loves liver. And I kept thinking, my God, he's eating the toxins of the animal. So I really did find that very interesting. I didn't know that. Another thing, a lot of the mothers I know are afraid most of the weight gain during pregnancy. And do you see that often as a well-founded concern during pregnancy or...
Let me tell you something. Fear of weight gain during pregnancy is real. It's a real fear. It's a genuine, deep-rooted fear. And a lot of women fear getting pregnant because of the fear of weight gain. A lot of them delay pregnancy because of the weight gain. And on the other hand, you have women who see pregnancy as a ticket to eat anything and gain weight. And neither side, neither extreme is good. You know, you don't need to fear the weight gain or delay the pregnancy because of it or pig out because you're pregnant. So the idea to keep in mind here is that if you eat healthy, then you should not be gaining unnecessary weight. And the most common comment I hear women say today is that, oh, well, I'm pregnant now. It doesn't matter now what I eat because I'm going to gain weight anyway, and I'll just have to deal with it once the baby's out. I don't know if you've heard that, Mara, but I hear that a lot. And you know, you think, no, this is exactly the time that you're supposed to be eating healthy because what you eat, regardless of weight, it makes a big difference to the baby. I mean, it makes a huge difference to the health of the baby, the health, the quality of your own pregnancy. Now, the average weight gain should be between 10 to 13 kilos. But you have to keep in mind that if you begin your pregnancy overweight, then you might not need to gain that much. And vice versa, if you're underweight before you got pregnant, then your body might need to pile on a bit more than the average person in order to, to start off on the correct weight because you want to carry the baby, but you also want some fat stores for the breastfeeding later. But either way, I think the weight issue with pregnancy is definitely always in our heads and we're thinking about it all the time, especially young girls today who are thinking about getting married or getting pregnant, whatever. And it shouldn't be just weight for vanity purposes. It should be that you need to maintain a healthy weight for health purposes. And I truly, truly, honestly believe that if you take care during the pregnancy and eat healthy, not only are you not going to gain the extra weight, but you're not going to have all that extra weight to come off later. I mean, imagine if you get pregnant and let's say you gain, I don't know, 25 kilos, which I see a lot, and you lose all of them and you keep 5. Okay? Now, when you keep the last 5 kilograms, you get pregnant again afterwards with that 5 and you have the second baby and you gain another 5. And by the time you have a third child, that's 15 kilos more than what you started off with. And that's not acceptable. You know, you owe that to yourself at least, and you want to make sure that that your body has the best that it needs in order to create this baby and in order to have the cells. But we have a few questions coming in. Let me address those once we come back. A few questions about pregnancy complaints and about remedies, but we'll talk about these when we come back, Mara, right after the break. Tune in.
We're making it easier to listen to the World Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Life navigation sounds simple enough, but it is really about harnessing the power of your own intuition to focus on the positive things in your life rather than the negative. Host Augustina Torgelson will help you to lead a happier life with less stress. Augustina's vision is to see a world of one community living in harmony with nature and earth. Embark on the journey of self-exploration and new opportunities. Tune in to Life Navigation every Tuesday at 8 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
I have a dream.
Sometimes it seems that life is just throwing you one obstacle after another. There are many people who have overcome or are overcoming their personal obstacles in order to succeed. Hear them talk about these barriers and how they overcame them on American Dreams, The Sky is the Limit, featuring host Jen Robertson. Jen herself overcame life struggles to become one of the most in-demand motivational speakers in the world today, as well as a best-selling author. Tune in to American Dreams, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet? Why not? Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for the keywords World Talk Radio. Once you're part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and happenings at the World Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for World Talk Radio.
The World Talk Radio Variety Channel, where the world comes to talk. You are listening to Dare to Be Healthy with your host, Alia Almoayed. If you have a question or comment about this week's program, our phone lines are now open anywhere in North America. Our number is 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. If you can't call into the live program, send an email to Alia, A-L-I-A, at aliaalmoayed.com. Almoayed is spelled A-L-M-O-A-Y-E-D. Now back to Dare to Be Healthy.
Welcome back. This is Alia Almoayed, your host on the Dare to Be Healthy show. We're talking today about a healthy pregnancy. And if you want a healthy pregnancy, then this is definitely the show for you. I'm chatting with a friend of mine, Mara Mustafa, and we're talking about pregnancy. Mara, before we left for the break, you had a couple of questions about common symptoms that we see during pregnancy, common complaints, and we have a few questions from our listeners as well about that. So why don't you tell me what you're complaining of, and then we can take it from there.
Well, seeing that this is my third pregnancy, I'm actually going through something which I never went through with the first two. I'm actually experiencing something for the first time. I had no idea what it was until, believe it or not, I read your book. The entire time I thought I was having nausea. And it turns out that it's actually heartburn and indigestion, because I just have this constant burning feeling and the food keeps coming up, and I kept thinking maybe I'm feeling nauseous, because I've never ever had heartburn before, and neither did I have it in my first or second pregnancy. So it just goes to show you that with each pregnancy, even though this is my third, it's like I'm having a first one all over again, because it's completely different to the first three, not to mention fatigue and being over fatigued, especially when you have two other kids around and you really have no time to take a nap or anything. But generally, yeah, at the moment, I'm 11 weeks, and that's what I'm going through.
Well, it's very interesting you ask that question, and I think it is very accurate what you said about the each pregnancy being completely different. I mean, even for the same woman, each pregnancy is completely different. And I don't know if people really believe me when I say that until you've actually had more than one pregnancy and understand that, really, because you think you've done one, you've done them all, but it's not. And your body will be, of course, a different age, different time, different environment, different stress levels, and that'll all come into play. But digestive discomforts in general are very common during pregnancy. And one of the biggest one that I hear all the time is heartburn. I've gone through it myself. Also more in the third pregnancy for some reason, but a bit later on. on into the pregnancy, but it's very uncomfortable. It just makes you look at the world differently, really, when you have heartburn. It's very, very uncomfortable. But for heartburn in general, eating sugar will actually make it worse. So anything sweet, and that includes very sugary fruits. A lot of people think that if they're avoiding the fizzy drinks and the desserts, for example, then they're all set. But even very sugary fruits will make the heartburn worse. But also avoiding things like fried foods for the heartburn, and definitely avoiding eating very late at night and going to sleep. I know a lot of people do that, and sometimes, you know, it's not convenient to eat 2 hours before bed, but the later you eat, the less time you have to digest it, and the more likely you are to have heartburn. But other digestive discomfort, such as constipation, for example, is very common. I just got a question about that at the moment. The pregnancy almost intrudes on the digestive system, and it sits in its place, you know, and you feel like your whole digestive system is either being moved up or to the side, and it's also an uncomfortable feeling. So you want to make sure that you have enough fiber in your diet. And, you know, the first thing that you think about when you think about fiber, you think, okay, I'll just have bran flakes or something, or Weetabix. And that's actually the worst choice that you can have, because wheat bran acts like wood shavings inside the digestive system, and it actually irritates your digestive system further. And what you want to have is soft fiber from vegetables and salads, for example, or from things such as oats, or millet, or quinoa, grains that are soft on the digestive system and that are not going to cause further irritation. Also, when you're pregnant, you tend to become dehydrated very quickly because of the extra circulation of the blood around the body. So a lot of women forget to drink, and because of the hassle of having to go to the toilet very often when you're pregnant anyway, I think a lot of women put off drinking enough water so that they can avoid that. But drinking is very, very important. Drinking water, at least, is very, very important. And you want to make sure that you have enough. But I want to mention a point that stuck in my head, Mara, when you said that you're pregnant and you have heartburn and you have toddlers, you have young kids, at least, around you. And I think this is something that I've noticed when I got pregnant the third time, that all the books and the magazines that you read somehow assume that you have all the time in the world, and that you have nothing better to do than to, you know, watch your pregnancy and watch what you eat and prepare these fantastic, healthy, organic meals. And it gets very difficult when you have a toddler hanging to on your legs and whining, and you know, stress levels are elevated. And I feel like I wanted this book to be also to the mother who has that. You know, what if you're pregnant and you have other kids? What if you're pregnant and you're working? What if you're pregnant and you have, you know, unbelievable amounts of stress? That all plays into it, and that all makes a difference, because this is the main complaint that I hear is, oh, I don't have time. Well, maybe during my first pregnancy I could have. This time I can't. And I wanted it to be an easy guide, even for the mother who's on the go and who's running and who has to feed two other kids other than herself during heavy pregnancy days. And it has to be practical, because if it's not practical, then anybody can pick up any book and see the theory. You know, ideally, yeah, you'd be doing all that, but realistically, practically, how does it work? And I hope that through the chapters, the few chapters that I have addressed women like that, that I've done my job, because I certainly had a hard time when I had my second. I had a very whiny toddler on my hands at the time, and it was honestly really a very big challenge. And eating healthy and thinking about food at that time was the least of my concerns. So I wanted to make it very easy snacks, healthy options for the mother on the go. So I hope I did that. I don't know if you felt that I did in that book, Mara.
Oh, you definitely did, and I felt that the book itself, just the fact that you had written the book and had done all that journaling, I'd barely have time to pick up a pencil, but the fact that you had the time to journal, I think that was fantastic, and it was an inspiration. I just, you know, it was really, really well done. And those other things as well, I'm very into the alternative remedies and all sorts of things. And I was wondering if you had any like other remedies for pregnant women that they could use during pregnancy or for labor or for post-birth.
I think a big mistake that many pregnant women do is they stick to one thing. You know, they're either with a doctor or they're with a nutritionist and nothing else. And I think that would be a shame because there's a lot that you can gain from other expertise as well. Even if you are seeing a doctor and even if you are taking the medical route for some problems, then there's no harm in doing the diet at the same time and fixing your food at the same time. But also there's a lot of other options out there for you. You know, homeopathy, for example, is fantastic for the pregnant woman and for the baby. It's completely safe. It has no side effects. And you can take it with your mind being completely at ease. And it's so effective. I know you've had experience with homeopathy as well, Mara, and you probably started using it for pregnancy even before I did. And I wish I had more access to this stuff during pregnancy, during my other pregnancies, because, you know, it really does make a big difference. You can heal yourself naturally through diet, through homeopathy, massage is even, I mean, it's not to be underestimated, you know, the power of touch, the power of loosening the muscles, the power of relaxing even, especially for a stressed out mother like most mothers are really. And acupuncture as well works fantastically. Craniosacral therapy is also very, very good for pregnant women. So the idea is just to get the message across that you don't need to be limiting yourself to anything. And if you don't know enough about a specific remedy, you don't need to fear it. And I know when you get pregnant, you think, okay, I'll do that when I've had the baby. But there's no need to be afraid of these things, because if you go to a qualified practitioner in these fields, then they would know if it's suitable for you or not. And they'll be able to tell you whether you can do it or not.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I had homeopathy remedies with the first two of my pregnancies, and I had it during my labor. I was taking my remedies during my contractions. I was taking them, and with my second as well, because I tend to go overdue. My babies don't like to come out on their due date. What I did have was I had tried acupuncture to help induce the labor, because I didn't want to be. I didn't want the doctors to induce me, so I wanted to have the baby naturally. So I did try acupuncture, even though I am petrified of needles. But I did find that it actually did work. Keeping in mind, though, I think acupuncture will only work when your body is ready for it to work. I don't think it would have worked had my body not been ready for labor. Had I done it a week ago, it wouldn't have probably induced me. But because I think I was ready at that time, it definitely did work. So, yes, it's definitely worth looking into all these other remedies, for sure. How important is nutrition for the breastfeeding mother? And do you have a hard time today, like convincing people to breastfeed more than, I mean, everyone tends to opt for formula, it's easier. But what do you think? What's your view on that?
Well, it's funny you should ask that now, because we just got a question from one of the listeners, and she was saying that she's not going to breastfeed. She's pregnant with her second child, but she's not going to breastfeed. She's already made that decision because her first child didn't breastfeed well at all, and she had a very hard time with that. And I don't know. It's a shame that you wouldn't consider it at the moment, because it does. It does make a big difference when you do breastfeed. It makes all the difference, actually, to the child. And the way I look at it is, you know, every breastfeed is one less visit to the doctor, and it gives them all the antibodies, it gives them the jaw and muscle movement, it gives them the person-to-person touch, the skin contact, the eye contact, a lot of that. And what you eat during breastfeeding is also very important, because I've seen mothers who are, you know, making the effort to breastfeed their kids, and you have to give them credit for that, but they're eating a horrendous diet. And you have to remember that the baby will eat what you're eating during breastfeeding. So it's taking the milk that you're having, but if you're having a horrible diet, then it's also eating that. So the reason why you're breastfeeding in the first place is to give your child the best nutrition that it can get, and it's definitely worth fixing your diet for things like caffeine, for example, excessive amounts of sugar, fizzy drinks, things that you wouldn't actually be feeding to the child. You definitely want to be avoiding. But we'll take another quick break, Mara, and we'll come back to answer some more of your questions. Very exciting.
Find out what's happening on the World Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at World Talk Radio.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet? Why not? Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for the keywords World Talk Radio. Once you're part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and happenings at the World Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for World Talk Radio.
Are you a student? Maybe you've just started going back to school or are thinking about it. If you're interested in adult education, tune in to Learning as an Adult with your host, John Steele. Our program will cover topics you can use if you're a current or future student in any learning environment. You can be learning online or in a classroom. Either way, John will help you with problems, issues, and concerns facing students every single day. Tune in to Learning as an Adult with John Steele every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite World Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at World Talk Radio and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
Listen.
The world is talking. The World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
Listening to Dare to Be Healthy with your host, Alia Almoayed. If you have a question or comment about this week's program, our phone lines are now open anywhere in North America. Our number is 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. If you can't call into the live program, send an email to Alia, A-L-I-A, at aliaalmoayed.com. Almoayed is spelled A-L-M-O-A-Y-E-D. Now back to Dare to Be Healthy.
Welcome back. This is Ali Almoayed, your host on the Dare to Be Healthy show. And we're talking today about my latest book called I Want a Healthy Pregnancy. And I'm chatting to Mara Mustafa, and we're having a great time. And we're taking in questions from listeners. And you also had some more questions for me, Mara, as somebody who's read the book and as a mother of two with a pregnancy going on at the moment. What other questions do you feel have come up as you've read the book or comments?
Well, Alia, I know that you've got a whole section on birth plans, and I'm a firm believer of a birth plan as well, because I feel like at least it gives you some sort of, not that you have control during labor, because anything can happen, but it gives you some sort of sense of security when you've got everything written down and how you'd like things to be. How important do you think a birth plan is for a pregnant mother to have during labor?
Well, I can only speak from experience, I guess. To me, it made the world of a difference. It made a completely different experience during the third pregnancy. I didn't have one during the first two pregnancies. It didn't go that badly, but I think once I did write a birth plan, I did feel more in control, like you said, and I think that's kind of the worst feeling you could have when you're in labor. is feeling out of control, and there are many elements that make you feel out of control. First of all, because it's very unpredictable. You don't know where you're going. You don't know how extensive the pain will be. You don't know how much longer you're going to go. And if the people around you don't know what's going on in your mind, it's even more difficult because they don't know your theories. They don't know your background. They don't know what you've read. They don't know what you believe. And maybe your partner will know a bit more about that. But even he won't know everything that you had planned or everything that you had your heart set on, at least. And I think it's definitely worth it to write a birth plan so that the midwives can understand you better even. They can, you know, they can have an idea of what it is you wanted. One of the biggest things I wanted to do during birth is to do upright birthing, what they call upright birthing, which is the opposite of what they do everywhere. At the moment, if you were to give birth, you would most likely be on your back with your feet up in straps, horrible, horrible position. That's called the stranded beetle position. And the reason it's horrible is, first of all, you feel completely out of control. And second of all, the most natural tendency for us, I mean, when you have severe abdominal pain, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? You're going to crunch forward. And definitely you're not going to go backwards, and that's the worst position you could be in when you have abdominal pain. So it's just a very natural position for us to go forward or to go on all fours, and this is a much more natural position to be in than to be on our backs with our, you know, feet hanging in the air. And you want to make sure that you communicate that to the partner who would be with you during labor, and also in the birth plan to the people around you, because all the pain, the nerve endings, believe it or not, are actually in the coccyx. They're in the lowest point of the back. And when you're pregnant and you're very heavy and you have a baby pressing on that, if you're lying down on your back, you have a baby pressing on all the nerve endings and all the pain and nerve signals that you have there, it will be a much more painful experience. And you will not be having the aid of gravity, really. You know, if you just go upright or if you go on all fours, then gravity is on your side. The baby will turn into a proper position to come out, and it'll be a much more easy experience. And people have used a lot less painkillers for that. Epidurals have been used less, and you just really have to have the strength to do that. And I'm hoping that by writing that chapter that you're talking about, Mara, it's that it would empower women to make decisions during labor, because up till this point we've been treating laboring women as sick women who are there for an illness or for a medical purpose, and it's the complete opposite of that. It's supposed to be an experience that you enjoy, that you have total control over, and you want to come out of it having had a positive experience. So this will give you an idea. Something called hypnobirthing as well is something that I discovered, which I thought was very, very fascinating, how to go into a deep, relaxed state without having to, you know, just to meditate into a deep, relaxed state in order to deal with the pain, because the pain of labor is real. I mean, I don't know about other people's experiences. I'm sure you've experienced that as well. It's not an imaginary pain, and it's not something that you just talk about. You know, the pain is real, and you need to go somewhere to deal with it, somewhere in your head at least. And this really helps take you to that place where it makes the experience much more comfortable. So to answer your question, yes, definitely birth plan for sure, all the way. Every single thing that you want during your labor, whatever you visualize, you write it on there, and hopefully you'll have a good enough team that will implement that.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I'm looking for, I was very lucky to have my first child in the upright position as well. But my second, unfortunately, my doctor wasn't on the same wavelength as me, and we didn't have the same agreement. Mm-hmm. But my fear is to be stuck to a bed and not being able to move, because it's only natural that you want to walk around, you want to squat, you want to sit on a ball, you want to lean on someone, you want to maybe take a bath. I mean, being stuck to the bed, the idea, I just don't understand how doctors nowadays still allow that. I mean, it's not natural. I mean, people are giving birth in all sorts of places, Africa, all sorts of places, and they're doing it naturally and without the help of doctors and without being glued to bed or having you know, like a saline drip attached to them. So I just think definitely mm-hmm. have a birth plan. And if there's anyone on the island who will allow me to be free during labor, just let me know. But mm-hmm. I am definitely on the search for a doctor with that mentality. But another thing I wanted to ask you was, what are some super easy nutritious snacks that a pregnant woman could have, like keep around with her, especially when you're on the go all the time, if you're busy with kids, work? I mean, what would be the ideal things to keep with you all the time to munch on?
Well, I think great question. And I think just the fact that a pregnant woman would think about her snack is a great step, definitely, because, you know, who has time to think about their snacks? But definitely very, very important thing to do, especially just to pop into your handbag or something, you know. You want to make sure that you're eating on a regular basis to avoid the tiredness. First of all, the fatigue is a very big point that you want to make sure you want to avoid. And the nausea as well. A lot of people feel nauseous once their stomach is empty, so you want to make sure that you're having regular small snacks. And I found dates to be a very good snack option. They actually saved my life many times. I put them in the handbag, and they have these dates that have the nuts inside them, you know, the raw nuts, the almonds or walnuts or whatever inside them. And I think they're the perfect snack because you get the sugar for the energy, you get the protein, etc. But also nuts in general are a good option to put in the handbag. They're much better if they're soaked, if you soak the nuts beforehand. And but things also like goji berries, for example, or fruit slices, or I don't know, hummus with carrot sticks, for example, or cucumber sticks. These are all great options for snacks. But you know, unfortunately, we're running out of time. I would have loved to add more of the snack options, but I think going to the book is actually the best place to find all this information and more of that information, for sure.
And where can people go for more information? Could you just remind us again?
Well, anybody who's listening right now should do one of the most important things, which is sign up on my email list. And this way you'd be getting the latest updates from me personally. And the way to do that is to go to www.aliaalmuayyad.com. And I'll also be announcing a very special bonus. And this bonus is only for people who are on my list. So you want to look forward to that. You want to make sure you're on my list for that. The people in Bahrain are all invited to join us at the book launch this weekend. It's happening actually this weekend on the 29th of January, Saturday the 29th at 11 a.m. And that's happening at the Organic Foods and Cafe at Seaf Mall. And I'm really, really excited about that. We're going to do a book signing and a book launch, and we're going to have discounts and vouchers and all kinds of things over there. For listeners from outside of Bahrain, you can actually get the book from Amazon UK. It's already on there. You can purchase it right now. And you can also find a lot more information about the book on iwanthealthypregnancy.com. And if you're on Facebook and Twitter, then you can also go there to keep in touch. But I look forward to seeing more of our listeners online and for the upcoming episodes. Mara, thank you so much for your time. I'm really hoping that pregnant mothers out there can benefit from our chat. You've honestly been a pleasure to talk to, and I'm sure people will love your blog as well. Your blog is maramostafa.wordpress.com. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Thank you for having me, Alia. It's been great chatting with you.
Oh, lovely to have you, Mara. And to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned for our upcoming episodes. We have some fantastic episodes lined up for this year. And we also have available slots for advertisers and sponsors. And in the meantime, remember to sign up on my website, alialmuayyad.com. And that's it from me. This is your host, Alia Almuayyad, signing off from Bahrain. Good night, everyone.
Thank you again for tuning in to To Be Healthy with Alia Almuayyad. Be sure to join us again next Monday at 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel. And for more healthy tips and discussion, please visit AliaAlmuayyad.com on the web. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the World Talk Radio Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit worldtalkradio.com. The World Talk Radio Network, where the world comes to talk. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the World Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.